You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So in today's complex world, modern missionaries face unique challenges that their predecessors never imagined. From language barriers to navigating cultural sensitivities, their journey is full of obstacles, but also incredible successes. So let's discuss how missionaries today are adapting to make a difference. And we are joined by one missionary himself, by Pastor Andrew Peary, who's joining us to help us talk about this one. Thank you so much for coming through.
You're doing a lot better. I'm very proud of you.
I learned from the best. The best was willing to teach me, so yeah. I have no choice but to do better.
Congratulations. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope you're good though.
I am well. It is raining. Yeah. The drought this year was terrible. So to see the rain is, yeah. Praise God.
Amen. I heard the thundering, what was no longer thundering there by Vic Falls. So now that it's raining, so it will be thundering. That's when now I'm going to come visit Zambia.
No, please, you're welcome. You can come now so you can walk on the floor of the river and then when it's full again.
No. I will be walking and some river somewhere will be releasing and then I'm going to be swept away by the water. So no, I'll play it safe.
I hear you.
My mind, it's going to be okay. So thank you, Mfu. So before we get into it, I'm going to ask that, can you please do a word of prayer for us?
Let's pray. Gracious God, our Father in heaven, thank you for the rain. Thank you for life. And thank you for this time you've given to us, dear God, to just engage in this conversation. We desire to learn from you. So I pray, dear God, that you be the one in control. This is my asking in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. You know, yesterday we spoke about, you know, the missionaries ancient back then, you know, and looking at how they went about it. And today we're looking at, you know, the modern missionaries. And I'm so happy that I'm speaking to you because you are one, you know. So we'll be speaking from things that you have experienced, you know, not read in a book, you know. So what are some of the biggest challenges, you know, modern missionaries face in their work? We might be thinking, now everything is there, you know, internet, modes of transport is easy, etc. And that might not be the case. So what are some of the challenges that you are facing in your work?
So one that still remains is linguistic barriers. Mm-hmm. That still remains a challenge for missionaries. And, you know, that gift of tongues is real. Like you can learn these languages, but sometimes, you know, it takes time. Mm. And until you learn to communicate, the work is a little difficult. Mm-hmm. In other areas, there's security concerns in some areas. You know, you get into the space, it isn't so secure. People aren't very welcoming of Christian ideologies and things like that. Those present as real challenges still. Mm. Then you have resistances from local communities. And I'll give you an example of resistances. There's people who have liken Christianity to colonialism, and so they don't want anything Christian.
Okay.
And they have all these negative views of Christianity. So they won't receive you. Mm-hmm. Then you have challenges of, say, you know, there's certain people for whom the gospel is the bread you give them.
Okay.
So if you get into an area wanting to just bring the word, you won't reach the people's hearts. You have to bring something more practical that will meet their needs. You've got challenges of now wanting to meet these needs and then wanting to deal with social issues like injustices in the area and navigating those lines and wondering how far is too far, how much can I do, and things like that. But there's a phrase that comforts me often that says they won't know how much you care until they see how much you care. So then you have to get into the life of the community and become part of it rather than being an outside arm coming in to influence life in the community.
I love that. You know, when you spoke about bread, and I was like, they don't want that one. I can we go there and say, Jesus, the bread of life. Mm-mm, they don't want that one. They want the physical one. The one they can touch.
The one that fills the stomach.
You know? No, not that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and you know, the challenges you are raising, they are quite normal. And we might look at them and, you know, we are in this day and age. It shouldn't be a thing, but they are actually real. Because I'm just thinking as well, I won't even mention me crossing the border outside of South Africa. If I were to go to Venda, for example, I can hear a bits and pieces of the language, but if I were to be there for 3 days, it was not going to make sure, you know. And also, let alone Venda, it's far here in Gauteng. If I were to go to the Afrikaans community, I wouldn't hear a single thing because they're speaking Afrikaans, you know. And these are the things that we take for granted, saying, man, you know, we can wing it and everything else. And that is not actually the case, you know. It is a challenge, more especially for our missionaries, you know. So looking at, you know, the issues of, you know, technology, how is influences, like now we're speaking, this is all thanks to technology and everything else, you know. So how does it, you know, influence the reach and the impact of missionary efforts today? Can we say you're a missionary just by being a missionary on the phone, or we need to see you physically to say that you are a missionary?
So now we are able to say you're a missionary on the phone because we have digital missionaries.
Yeah.
I mean, here we are. I mean, Lusaka, Zambia, and you're in South Africa, but technology has connected us. So it's helped in that effort that missionaries have been able to reach areas. Remember yesterday, the definition we gave is people who've been sent, right? So people have been able to reach areas where they would not have gone otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. Two, because of the way life is, we laugh about how growing up is different for the kids now than it was.
Yes.
We used to play a lot outside.
Yes.
But now people are always in the house.
Mm.
So technology has made it easier for the missionary to enter people's houses. And for it to not be creepy, you know, you know. So the missionary is in people's homes. The missionary is in people's bedrooms because they're on the phone.
Yes.
So technology has enhanced that. You're able to do all of that. You're able to do consultations. Now so I do offer a psychotherapy. And now a lot of my sessions are virtual. They're all online.
Mm.
So I am that missionary who's gone to spaces where I would I would not typically have gone because of technology. So missionaries are able to go. The whole idea of a missionary is for one to respond to be sent by a God who sends. You know? Yeah.
And you know, as you're saying that, the issues of being at home, indoors, we played outside. Earlier on, I was speaking about, you know, ambitions and careers and stuff. And I was like, you know, we used to play with stones and windows. Yo, the stones were proper. They were the toys, you know. Yeah. But now, to get the children, you know, to move. I remember there was a time where, for example, when we were home during school holidays, there's times where I'd tell my child to run around the house 5 times. Because I know if I don't do that, he's not going to get out of the house. You know, I'm like, run. Then he circles it 5 times, he sits. Then when I feel like, okay, it's been long enough now, again, I pause whatever he's doing, run again. Because that's how the children of today are like, you know. So looking at, you know, for example, you are a missionary currently and you are in your own country, right? So if you were to move to a different country, let alone, even if it's not a country, but a different culture, because I believe we have different cultures, you know. In what ways now do you adapt to saying, hey, these ones, I can't approach them like this? For example, us here, I think it's the vendor culture. There's a certain way in which you greet. You can't just greet, you know, and more especially when you're going to the deep rurals. Because we're like, that's me, man. We don't do that. No. When you're speaking to the older folk, you know, there's a way. In some cultures, you can't point, you know. And I've seen a certain pastor here. I'll ask him one day, whenever he wants to point at something or whenever he does a fist and then the pointing finger is a little bit stretched out, but he doesn't point with the fingers, you know. So such instances, you know, how do you adapt now to different cultures that you're going to?
That's a good one. So I served in the Philippines as a missionary pastor at some point, and so this is where, you know, getting out of my culture really happened. But I was right in Manila, and the culture was very different from many different parts of the Philippines. And so we met Christians. So I was part of a ministry that was working in Manila.
Okay.
So we met Christians in coffee shops.
Mm.
Now you know SDS and coffee,
yes,
right? But we met them in coffee shops, and that was an adaptation because that's where they were going to meet us.
Mm.
And so that's one of the ways that you see missionaries adapt some of these things. And I've got a friend who is in, I believe, if it's not Cambodia, then it's Thailand,
mm-hmm.
Who is a pastor. But he's doing a restaurant there.
Okay.
He's a missionary. So instead of doing up a church, he's doing a restaurant. And then from there, he will, you know, get interest. And then, in fact, they've already started meeting on Sabbaths.
Mm.
But that was an adaptation to that. In fact, even in the Philippines itself, that's what the ministry was doing. It started off as this meeting in coffee shops called Cafe Life. And then it grew into what was called Grow Groups. And then grow gathering on Sabbath. So those are some of the adaptations you're seeing in some of these places by missionaries who are going. And just looking at, say, for example, you have people who get into these spaces and they contextualize the gospel.
Mm.
It's what Paul was doing when he was at Athens, like I mentioned yesterday, Acts 17. He gets around Luke and says, well, there's a statue here to the unknown God.
Mm.
That's where I'm going to start from. So you contextualize the gospel so they can understand it. One of my teachers from years ago, whenever I went to visit him at home, I always found him in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And he always had a lesson from the Bible in the garden.
Okay.
That was contextualizing of the gospel. So we have to get to that place where the Holy Spirit is able to give us these hints at how we can contextualize the gospel for the context we are in. I think those are some of the adaptations. Also, people are using apps now with Duolingo and learning languages a lot quicker.
Yes.
And finding a partner, like, hey, can you teach me this language? But then in the process of being taught the language, you're also discipling them, because as you're learning, you're infusing the gospel in your learning as a student as well.
Side note. It's often said, I don't know these days, you know, we have apps now, but so I'm not encouraging anything, dear listeners. I'm just having a side note with the pastor. You know, it was often said, you know, when we're growing up, that if you want to learn a language, get a partner who speaks that language, get a boyfriend or girlfriend. You will learn the language faster.
Is that what you did?
No. No, interestingly enough, I was able to speak the language way before I spoke with my husband. In fact, he was shocked that I was actually not Zulu, you know, when we met. Yeah, like, I'm not, but I can. No. So, and also, we're not encouraging listeners. We're just saying that there was that kind of a situation. So if you find yourself in Manila, you know, pray for the Holy Spirit to bless you with us with a gift of don't date. Mm-mm, we don't encourage dating. Just in jail.
It works.
Holy Spirit, from the I'm from this. They will say we're encouraging. But well, if you do have a testimony, by the way, text us on +27734703520.
Yes, we encourage that testimony to come so we can hear about it.
Please, okay, let's go back to being all right, so idea on, you know, you spoke about how, you know, so it's one of the challenges, how some communities, you know, there would be they would resist, you know, the missionaries coming through, let alone the message itself, but the actual missionaries, you know, saying, but who are you guys, you know, why are you here, etc. And there will be that. So what role do local communities now play in terms of supporting the missionaries or resisting, you know, the missionaries? Because there are those that when you come in, they will welcome you as in with open heart. They'll even offer you their house to stay in. But Abanye, the moment you enter the village gates, you are enemy number one, you know?
Yeah.
So what role do communities play in terms of accepting or resisting?
So they either help the work to move smoother,
mm-hmm.
or for you to have a harder time. I'll give an example. First of all, one of the things I did when we entered the area, we're bringing a discipleship training school, but that's not what we are pushing forward. We're saying it's a skills training school.
Ah.
But part of the lessons include the Bible, and it's compulsory, because we're looking at giving these people the joy of the gospel, but with a skill that will bring them a livelihood,
mm-hmm.
so they can go running and say, God changed my life through this program.
Yes.
And he can change your life too, much like the woman at the well going running and becoming one of the most successful evangelists, mm-hmm. right? So when I got into the area, local leadership was the first to get in touch with.
Mm.
I went as far as seeing the chief, and the chief was very happy. We went to the council office, and the council office was more than happy to have this. They said, we don't have anything like this in our district.
Mm.
So that then helps with the work moving forward.
Mm.
We have to learn to build trust through relationships and mutual respect.
Mm.
And so the community, including the council leadership, are in support and more than happy to support. In fact, they've been encouraging us to push this to get it started now, because right now we're just sort of trying to put buildings together.
Mm.
So that's one. Two, you make the leadership part of the effort.
Yeah.
They begin to own the missionary effort,
mm-hmm.
As well. And it's easier for the gospel to take root in an area where people feel like their needs are being met. It's the Christ method alone, you know, where you're meeting temporal needs, and then after that you're telling them, come follow Jesus.
Mm.
And then it also helps when you've won the trust of the community to navigate some of these complex issues that rise up in your work, because then you have the community on your side. I can't tell you enough how much the community is waiting. When are we getting this started? When are we getting this started?
Yes.
And I'm just like, man, if we had all the money,
right.
all the structures would have been done by now, and you people would be learning here. Mm. But yeah, baby steps, because I think in the process, God is also training me to be and sanctifying me in the process as well.
Yeah. Mm. So looking at, you know, modern missionaries, you know, how can they now be more inclusive and respectful of the cultures they engage with? Because it's a lot, you know. Do you first, for example, study, which culture are you from, or tribe are you from?
I am Chewa.
Okay, Chewa.
Which is from the east. Yes.
So if you're going to the Tonga, I don't know the difference, how different they are, but...
No, they are quite different.
Yeah. So do you first study what the Tongas are doing and everything else, their way of life, so that you don't go there blank, you know?
Yeah.
You don't do the most obvious things that are going to offend people, because we have the most basic obvious things, you know? Do you do that? And how's that process, so that you know you respect also their culture? Because it's not that when you get there people don't know Jesus. Mm-mm. It's just that the cultures are different, and now also that thing of coming of you know it all, you know. So how do you navigate such situations?
So it is wise to first of all study the area you're getting into. Have information about where you're going, and the kind of people that are there, and the kind of stuff that you're doing.
Okay.
I jumped into the area where I am now without so much of a deep dive into who they are.
Okay.
But I'm also very careful as I navigate. So there's still things that shock me, like, wait, that's what you people do here? You know? But the way I navigate that is I prioritize listening and learning.
Ah, I see.
So I don't come with, I know it, I have everything, you know? Even if I have the health message, there's a gentleman who's living at a farm close to where I live. And he's got diabetes.
Okay.
And I know that I want to come in, and in fact, we are coming in to help him. But we're not coming. We're not coming at him with we know it all, because we have to look at what resources or what food is accessible to him.
Yes.
Because I could bring him this help for diabetes, but if I don't look at what food is accessible to him in the area, then we won't help him. We'll be telling him to stop eating certain foods. But then he'll have nothing to eat. So prioritize learning and listening. Also avoid cultural imperialism. People don't want to be made to feel like their culture is inferior.
Okay. Okay.
So avoid that.
Yes.
Come and see the beauty in the culture, and enhance the beauty. And whatever is off, speak to it, but speak to it with a lot of wisdom. Then also integrate a lot of local perspectives into your decision making. So when we got into the area, the idea was for us to develop this skills training center.
Okay.
But the people so badly want a grade school because the nearest school to where I am is 10 kilometers one direction, and it's not a boarding school. So the children walk the 10 kilometers to where their school is. And so the people closest to where we are, and you can imagine, because there's others who come from further than where I am.
Yes.
They are more excited to have a grade school.
Mm.
So some of the decisions we're making are, as we are developing this, let's also have provision for grade classes so that they find this here. You know, so there's all those things that you're beginning to do. You're listening to the community and just paying attention to what their needs are and what they will respond to. And also just embrace diversity.
Yeah.
And just understand that people are going to be very different from you.
Yeah. And lastly, before I let you go then, Fundisene, on that one, if you can maybe also talk about, you know, those cultural shocks and keeping them to yourself.
Yeah,
because we get shocked and then we reflect in front of people and then they get offended, you know. So I'll just make an example. So when I came to Zambia, was it last year? Then I got a call, you know, from my boss, very kind, like, sis, listen here, when you go there, please pack 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't dress like 1, 2, 3, 4. I was like, huh? Wait, you know, I understood, you know, with everything. And so even when I landed and everything, it was fine. And I didn't, you know, express my shock in front of people. I just came home like, your husband, you know, I saw 1, 2, 3, 4. Hi, bo. You understand those kind of things? Because sometimes we share our reflections in front of those people. And sometimes the way we do it, it's disrespectful, you know, or it might offend the other person, saying, yo, why do I have to wear long skirts in this heat? You know, that kind of situation. So if you can talk to us about that thing, when you meet, for example, these cultural shocks, these things, how do you handle that reaction, you know?
Yeah. So it's practice. You have to practice. You have to train your face and for you to react with a tone that desires to learn.
Mm.
It will shock you, yes, but then react with the desire to learn. And so learn to ask questions. And be like, oh, this is what's happening here. So when I was in Manila, I met what people called white witchcraft.
Okay. All right.
Which is witchcraft.
Okay.
but you know, you're meeting these people and you know, these are regular people on the streets walking and they say, oh, I practice white witchcraft. I was shocked and petrified. I'm thinking, wait, what do you mean?
Yeah.
You practice white witchcraft. But then I've learned to respond with curiosity and ask questions. What's that about? What's that really about? What's the significance of this? So you find a cultural practice, you respond with curiosity and just ask, what's the significance of this? And what does this mean to the people? That way you learn, then you can go and be shocked at home on your own. I'm like, I didn't know people still lived like this.
So Ezra, so one day me and you must have a discussion about this white witchcraft. I get you have learned.
I would be happy because it's actually there. It's really? On TikTok, actually.
Yes. Really?
Yes.
Huh.
I was shocked.
I'm knocking off at 12. Sorry. But anyway, thank you, man. I think there's a lot, you know, that we can always speak about and we need to speak about. And I'm so glad, you know, that you are a missionary. So people can get hold of Pastor Andrew and speak to him. He'll guide you. He's very nice. So thank you, Mfundisi, for coming through. I'm going to ask that before you close and your last words today, when you pray for the missionaries out there, because we understand and acknowledge that things are tough, you know, so that they may be renewed.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Zanele, for having me and for having this topic on. Let us pray. Gracious God, it is in obedience to your word that we have decided to go into areas we have never known. We are encouraged by how you took care of Abraham when you were taking him to a land he had never known before. But we are also aware of the challenges. And so there are maybe missionaries who are comforted by AWR because they're then able to tune in from where they are and they're listening today. God, may you continue to encourage them. May today's, even just this prayer, may it be comfort enough and courage enough for them to know God is with me, God sees me, and God is going to carry me through. Because I know that it's hard, but you have promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So God, remind us of this every day. And there's a missionary who needs your provision. Father, please provide, whether it's finances, whether it's community, whether it's just a person of peace who will come and just walk beside them and make something easier. Please provide for your children who are out in mission, obeying your word, getting into these spaces and just bringing the gospel to everyone. We pray that your name be glorified in all things. This is my asking in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you, Zanele. I really, really appreciate it.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.